Welcome to Documenting DH, hosted by the Digital Humanities Research Network at the University of Wisconsin. In these audio episodes, we interview students and scholars around our campus who are involved in digital humanities projects. Today, we're talking with Brianna Marshall, Digital Curation Coordinator in Research Data Services. How do you describe DH?
Honestly, I like to keep it really simple and just describe it basically as the application of, you know, computational methods and new approaches to traditional humanities disciplines.
What brought you to DH in the first place?
So I was an undergraduate at the University of Wisconsin-La Crosse. Mm-hmm. I was studying rhetoric and composition, and it was my final year. And we had a capstone project where we actually had to make a web portfolio for some of the writing that we had done. And that was the first time that I had had any exposure to HTML and, you know, what it actually looked like to start to dig into, you know, the code that powered a website. So that was very eye-opening for me. And I was heading off to library school at Indiana University. And while I was there, I was very keen on working with special collections, and I became very interested in, you know, digital initiatives and digital collections and digitizing, you know, things from the archives and special collections. And over time, that kind of then shifted to working with scholarly communications and research data management and digital scholarship. And so I had this kind of, you know, this journey that I feel like was really kicked off when I started to become exposed to, you know, the web and how people were, you know, crafting new forms of scholarship. And it seems silly and funny now to think back that that was like started by my own website, but that's when I started to see myself, you know, I'd never seen myself as a technical person. And that's when I started to see what those intersections could be like. So kind of a humble beginning, but definitely my exposure to DH was ramped up quite a bit when I was in graduate school at IU.
And can you describe a project that you've been involved with?
Sure. So my main advisor when I was in graduate school was John Walsh, and he is a digital humanist who's worked on a lot of different projects. So I became exposed to a lot of different projects through him. And I ended up working with his wife, Michelle Dalmau, who works in the digital collections department at IU. And she was really exceptional. She exposed me to a lot of projects as well. And I was her intern for one fateful summer where I was tasked with working on, it was a geospatial mapping internship. She had a project that where she was working with a faculty member named Constantin Dirks. And he was is a history professor who had written a book called Globalization of the United States. And he had a forthcoming exhibit in the Rare Books Library, the Lilly Library at IU. And he wanted to also create a digital exhibit. So Michelle was helping bring together resources and manage things from the library side and brought me in to say, what can we do as far as mapping some of these events and some of these artifacts that he wants to map in this digital exhibit? So I spent a summer basically exploring different mapping tools, and it was a lot of fun, but you know, it really taught me a lot about how the changing functionalities of these tools can lead to this shifting landscape as we try to pin down something that'll work to sustain a digital project. So it was a great opportunity to work in a team setting and kind of do my small part for a much larger project. And ultimately, you know, a lot of the tools that we identified, Neatline was one of them, was the main tool, just didn't end up working for the particular project. I think that they ended up going with Leaflet after my time as an intern. But it was a lot of fun just, you know, tinkering around with different things and having to really get my hands dirty with the technologies.
So it sounds like you had a few challenges during this entire project. Can you sort of identify those?
Yeah, I think that the main challenge was just teaching myself, learning how to, you know, go all over the web, finding forums, learning how to ask the right question about a lot of these tools, and learning about a lot of different technologies and how they work together and how they don't work together. Really, it was a lot of trial and error. And it was also learning about, you know, the dynamics of such a project, how a project like this is funded and the project management side of it all, which, you know, is a piece of it that's very interesting to me. So seeing Michelle in that role, managing the project and helping set deadlines and, you know, learning how to work within that type of setup, it was really illustrative.
So what do you consider the biggest success from your experience in that summer internship?
Learning that it can be messy. Learning, you know, that you can try as hard as you can, but you really need a lot of different viewpoints. You need a lot of different strengths to come together. And that was that probably was my first time, you know, working in a digital project setting where I was in meetings with a faculty member and seeing how that partnership could happen and what type of support could be provided by the libraries.
So how does your DH experience, your experience with research and scholarship, affect your work and your job now as a librarian?
Well, my job is interesting. My current role here at UW is really kind of a hodgepodge of different roles, and, you know, I'm working quite heavily with research data management. So, of course, I've, you know, translated a lot of my past experiences working with humanists and working with researchers in the humanities, you know, into my role now, and a lot of what I do is try to share out, you know, best practices for working with data back to those communities.
Have you got a set of best practices that you can refer scholars to when they come to you?
On the Research Data Services website, we do have a lot of resources, very intentional. We know that not everyone will want to reach out and talk to us. Scholars are incredibly busy, they've got a lot going on, so we try to just provide those basic best practices on the website. And I would say for all researchers, or really anyone who is creating digital stuff, which is basically all of us, basic best practices that are really, really helpful. Things like having a plan for how you're structuring out the organization of your files, and thinking about file naming conventions, and thinking about how you're storing things and how you're backing them up. So there are a lot of those really foundational practices that I think everyone can benefit from.
So your job as a research data service librarian, is this something you're seeing more and more libraries adopt?
Oh, absolutely. This is definitely a great area for libraries to be investing in. It's so crucial for continuation and preservation of the scholarship that we are, you know, doing our very best to support. So there are lots of amazing programs that universities and libraries are investing in, but it is an investment. You know, it is something that is new for a lot of libraries. So it requires a lot of careful planning and that dedication to kind of marshaling those resources to make it happen. And something that's been very common in the field is sort of this solo data librarian problem, right? Where there's one of us at an institution trying to grapple with all of the challenges and all of the needs that are in this area. And really, you need a whole team of people to be able to do this work effectively. You know, I'm seeing less and less of that as resources are being put toward this at different institutions, but I would say that it's a worthy investment, and it's something that I hope UW in particular will invest much more heavily in.
How do you see research data services fitting into the wider digital humanities community on campus?
So my hope is that RDS will be seen as a trusted partner for digital humanists. Something that I really want to work on is doing better outreach to the humanities community. Sometimes data, talking about research data can be a hard sell as far as, you know, convincing humanists that, hey, we can help you. We can help you manage your digital stuff. My hope is that they'll see beyond us as just being a resource for STEM disciplines. I want RDS to be a connector on campus. If people come to us, we can also connect them with other research support folks on campus as well.
How would you define data involved in digital humanities projects that you've worked on?
So humanities data is just really diverse. And one thing that I've found lately is this misconception that all DHers have big data, you know, and maybe it's this quantitative, all of these quantitative projects that we hear about, but that's just not the case. And I find that that actually can sort of create this environment where a lot of humanists who don't have that big data then don't consider what they have as data. That also makes it harder to translate some of the best practices in managing digital stuff to those individuals. So certainly scholars that are working with text corpora and who are, you know, creating digital editions, those are pretty different than, you know, what I see when I work with STEM researchers. But there are also a lot of humanists and, you know, who are working with spreadsheets and with numerical data and with images and things like that.
So what do you recommend for humanists in terms of managing their diversity of data?
The first step is to acknowledge that you have data. That is definitely the first step. And that's actually something that I am trying to work on with many different audiences, because it's certainly more widespread than just humanists. Some people just don't connect with the word data. It has a lot of different misconceptions wrapped around it. And so when I try to talk to people about the best practices that I try to preach, you know, I'm talking about digital stuff. I try to say managing your digital stuff. And then people will start to kind of connect the dots and say, oh, okay, so I can consider this my data. So those are kind of the light bulb moments that I really like to have. And, you know, a lot of humanists that I've worked with have, you know, they're solo scholars, and they've kind of worked on their own work in somewhat of a solitary way. So it can be new to think about, you know, different connection points and ways that we can, you know, support them through, you know, our different communities that we have on campus. DHRN is one example. So I think that it's an exciting time to be working in digital humanities.
Is there a particular kind of data or a particular kind of data challenge that you've run into?
There was a really interesting challenge, actually, quite recently. Maddie Burkert, who was a former DHRN coordinator while she was here at UW, she stumbled into this really interesting digital forensics dilemma. So she was working with a database called the London Stage Information Bank. And she wanted to, this was a database from either the 60s or the 70s, I can't quite recall, but she wanted to utilize this for the research that she was doing for her dissertation. And she found that, you know, there were some code scans that existed, and she kind of had to go on this crazy hunt to like track down different pieces of the information. It was trying to, you know, pull together these disparate things and bring them together to make something meaningful. So she kind of, this was a really interesting project for me to be brought in on, because she wanted to share her scholarship openly, mm-hmm. which I thought was incredibly exciting. So I helped her set up a project on the institutional repository Minds at UW. That was wonderful, and she also sort of spotlit this issue of digital preservation and the fact that we're working on all of these digital projects, we're pouring resources and energy and care into them, and yet for a lot of them, you know, they're not sustainable over time. So I think that that's also a space where libraries can be highly involved in helping make sure that we have that infrastructure to preserve these digital objects over time.
What do you find personally the most exciting aspect to working with data?
Data is exciting because it's so vexing. We were never taught, most of us were never taught as young people to organize digital stuff. So it's inherently kind of frustrating, and it's new to a lot of people, at least doing it well. And, you know, it takes less time to do it well the first time than to learn those painful lessons. So a lot of us learn through trial and error and develop our own set of practices that way. But it's an isolating and frustrating and overwhelming thing that a lot of us have to deal with. And that's both in our personal lives and in our professional lives. So I think that the fact that it is alternatively so vexing and so tedious makes it this worthy challenge for libraries and for librarians to help provide best practices that can make people more sane and can make projects more sustainable.
And I totally relate to that vexing element. Because yes, it's that tension between, yes, it's vexing, but then when you do get it and it is happening, and that's a major success, it makes the success that much more sweet, it seems.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, it's messy. Doing it right is messy. It's not black and white. There aren't always easy solutions. And so what I try to talk about is that, you know, we share best practices and we share some ideas, but people have to kind of remix those so that it fits their context, because if they don't find ways to fit that into their workflows and the way that they approach their work, then it doesn't get done, and then it doesn't serve anyone.
How do you think libraries can support DH scholars?
I think there are a lot of ways. I mean, libraries can create spaces where projects can happen and collaboration can happen. Libraries can provide expertise in the form of people who are acting as project managers, or people who are helping with things like data management or even workflow management and, you know, expertise on particular technologies. And I think that it comes down to, again, investing in those people and in those services that we can then provide back to the broader community, and doing a better job at outreach and at getting the word out about, you know, what the library can provide to scholars.
In the broader picture, how do you see libraries shifting from this traditional role into these digital areas that we've been talking about?
So a lot of libraries have been, you know, early adopters of different technologies and different services that are of great value to our researchers. And again, I have to point to the universities that are making these investments in things like research data management and in specific people with disciplinary expertise and, you know, technological expertise. So I'm most interested when I see libraries, you know, investing in some of these, you know, alternative academy type roles, right? Hiring in people with PhDs who are coming in and bringing new expertise to the library. And I think that there's a lot that the library can learn and also just be enriched by different perspectives beyond just the MLS. I also think that the more we're investing in new spaces, new models of consulting with our researchers, things like project incubators where the library is providing, again, a set of individuals and expertise and sort of all of these other things that I've talked about, spaces and you know, technologies, bringing that together to make it easier for someone to get their ideas off the ground. The library can be, you know, can provide a great vehicle for researchers. I also think that libraries are interesting in, you know, it's a challenge to think about how you shift some existing roles, right? If you don't have the opportunity to necessarily hire out into new roles, how do you shift existing roles in a way that is beneficial and retains a lot of that deep knowledge and value that libraries have always provided to researchers, but also incorporates new approaches and, you know, particularly digital approaches and that digital expertise. So I think that that's, I mean, it's something I've certainly spent a lot of time thinking about. How do you build community in the library and bring people together in this shared messiness? Because you have to be vulnerable to learn together, and you kind of have to rely on each other in interesting ways and be able to ask each other questions and work together. So what some libraries have done is actually created a digital project and then brought their staff together to work on that project together and to kind of learn firsthand so that they're better equipped to then talk to researchers about different tools or approaches.
And where do you see the university and their role in all of this?
I think if universities want to prioritize digital humanities scholarship, look to the library, invest in your library, and invest in all of the other centers and organizations on campus that are providing, you know, support to researchers, in addition to, of course, making sure that your departments are well-funded.
So what would you say to somebody who is very interested in digital humanities but doesn't really identify as a digital humanist?
So I also don't identify as a digital humanist. I see myself more as a project manager, as a librarian, as a technologist. And I would add that, you know, it can be quite a barrier to participation in this realm if only people who perceive themselves as digital humanists can participate. And I think that that's something that, you know, as individuals can seem like a very weighty thing to overcome, at least for me, that, you know, might not be the case for others. And, you know, there are lots of different skills and competencies that people can bring to this field beyond just inhabiting that role of digital humanist. And there are so many different conversations and debates and lots of really interesting scholarship that's happening on what is digital humanities. I mean, this is always kind of like a rollicking debate. And for me, it's always been, I've been much more interested in providing services to optimize research, whether that's for humanists or whether that's for others.